Last week we talked about how to give criticism, and it is difficult to give criticism constructively, but I believe it's much more for some of us to receive it effectively. So this would be a follow-up to last week's lesson. The Bible teaches us that we need to be able to do both. We have a responsibility as Christians to give constructive criticism or feedback to one another, especially when we see someone going down the wrong path. And the Bible also tells us that we ought to receive criticism and instruction from others as well. You know, if I walk into the house and Jarell starts throwing lies at me, usually what I do is I jump out of the way when that happens. If she's going to do that, I want to dodge. And, you know, she's never done that. She's probably felt like it, but she hasn't done that. But what would we do if that happened? Well, we would, first of all, jump out of the way, and then we might want to start picking up the knife and throwing them back. We'd want to retaliate. And that's how often people respond to criticism. They want to retaliate, or they want to deny the instruction in the criticism, or ignore it, and many times, you know, try to turn the table. Because we don't see criticism as a tool to improve. You may have heard this story before, and I think it bears repeating, that a businessman once said, "Sometimes I think that my competitors do more for me than my friends do. My friends are too polite to point out my weaknesses, but my competitors go to great extents to advertise them. My competitors are efficient, diligent, and attentive, and they make me search for ways to improve my product and service. If I had no competitors, I might be lazy, incompetent, inattentive. I need the discipline they enforce upon me. I salute my competitors. They have been good to me. God bless them all." So, if a businessman can see that competition is something that can help him if he'll pay attention to it, I think that's a valid point. You know, I work for Konica Minolta. Many of you may not know who they are, but they make a lot of different things, and the division that I'm in is production print. And we compete with Ricoh, and we compete with Xerox, and Canon, and HP. And just recently, one of our people was sent to New York to one of our offices there, where they had the competitive equipment there in the office. All the new competition was there because they had purchased it. Our company had actually purchased the competitive products, and they were there to study what it did and what did it do better than ours, what did we do better, because, you know, that helped them to know how to position our products against those products. So competition is something that is helpful in the business world, because it tells us what we can do better and what we need to work on. So if a businessman can see that it's beneficial to know those kind of things, how much more should Christians be able to see that when it involves our life as Christians, that receiving criticism in the right way can actually help us to reach our goal? Businessman has a goal, but we have a goal as Christians to help one another go to heaven. So it can be something that can help us now and certainly in the hereafter. You know, I know from time to time we're all told things that are not pleasant to hear. Somebody might say, "Well, you're not doing this right." You know, some of you know that I'm in the position right now to be directing the camp for our college this year, and we're in the planning stages. And I'm realizing that when you're in that position, that there are those that will disagree with what you know. They'll have advice for you, and sometimes that advice is not always the sense in the way that you would like for it to be. And so you have to watch your reaction. You know, you have to not react in a negative way to criticism, but be receptive to it. And we'll talk more about that as the lesson goes on. But sometimes there is a reaction that we all have when somebody dares question your decision on something, or they have an idea for you that wasn't your own. "You're not doing this right," or "You could have done this better," or "You're not as good at this as somebody else was." And so criticism, sometimes it's justified, sometimes it's not, but it certainly is a part of life, and we have to see how it is that we can benefit from it. In Hebrews chapter 12 that Rex read for this morning, you may have noticed one key part of that passage I wanted us to focus on, where the writer says that when we're growing up, we had fathers that disciplined us, and we knew that it was beneficial. And so how much more when the Heavenly Father disciplines us? So discipline is not joyous. It may be grievous, but it just hurts for the moment. And so our attitude toward criticism has a lot to do with whether or not it's going to be beneficial. We avoid it because it's something that's negative. It may be unjust. It hurts when people criticize you. And that's exactly what Hebrews tells us. But my attitude is going to determine how I look at it. I need to understand that sometimes criticism is a matter of opinion. And sometimes there can be two opinions that may be right. It's not always the case. Sometimes there are different ways of doing things. And people have differences on those things. But when I listen, I can learn what is important to the one who is the critic. And I may learn a lot about myself as well. And let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. We need to develop the ability to learn and to progress. Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2, I warned those who sinned before and all the others, and I warned them now while absent, as I did when present on my second visit, that if I come again, I will not spare them. Since you seek proof that Christ is speaking to me, he is not weak in dealing with you, but is powerful among you. For he was crucified in weakness, but lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but in dealing with you, we will all live by the power of God. What Paul is saying here is that the letter that he wrote to the Corinthians was negative, and it contained criticism, and that they needed to listen to it. They needed to hear it so that they could grow. We need that ability. And we can modify our reception of criticism by examining our thoughts about it. Too often we engage in counterpunching. And I'll just tell you, that's exactly the way that I feel when I'm criticized, is that I want to punch back. And that's something that I have to work on. And if that is our reaction when we are criticized, is we automatically take it personally and we want to punch back, then that's something that needs to change. If we start thinking, well, they're criticizing because they're out to get me. Well, maybe that's not really the case. Maybe they're just trying to tell me how to do something better or give me an idea on how an alternative to something can be, just another point of view. But if we automatically think that they're saying that I'm a failure or that my opinion is not good, then I'm not going to really be able to benefit from criticism. So let's talk about what our responses to criticism should be. First of all, I think it's obvious that we should listen to it. As painful as it may be to hear our critics, they are often telling us something truthful about ourselves. And so we need to learn to stick to the issue. Just recently I was in a situation where there was a misunderstanding, something wasn't communicated properly, and someone lit into me in the way that they approached me about it, and really took a personal attack in the way it was presented to me. You know, why did you do this way? I thought you did this and that. And so my first reaction was, if you're going to get offended this is easily, then our relationship is going to be really bumpy. Because this was something really, really small, just some miscommunication. And so That was my immediate reaction. That's the way I wanted to react. It's that, you know, if you are offended this easily, then you're going to have a lot of problems in your relationship. But I didn't react that way. I decided to stick to the issue and to, because there was a valid point that was made and it needed to be cleared up. And so tried to handle it professionally, which is hard for me to do. Okay, here's how we're going to handle this issue, and I'm sorry that there was a misunderstanding. But my reaction was I took it personally. And so it's going to be hard to have good relationships with those who may be critical of you, or those who maybe not bring it to you in the way that you think that they ought to. Yeah, there might have been some fault in the way the problem was brought to me, and I tried to stick to the issue. So what can I do? I can learn from the situation, or I can take it personally. They may not always have the best motive. They may not always tell us things for the right reason, but what we need to do is listen to criticism, listen to feedback, and see if there is something valid about that. And so in this situation, there was something valid about the criticism that I needed to address. I didn't think it was presented to me in the best possible way, but there was something valid that needed to be addressed. Because we react emotionally many times. We react emotionally through pride, and many times we need to humble ourselves by listening to what others have to say. So, in Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 9, Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 9 says, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Reach a just man, and he will increase in learning." So the response that a wise man is going to have is when you give instruction to that wise man, then he's going to learn from it. Instead of reacting negatively and making it a combative issue. And so we can listen to it. Another response that we should have is that we need to correct those things. We need to correct those things that need to be corrected. Responses need to be constructive and effective. And that means that when we are faced with someone who is a critic, that we appraise what they said and appraise it accurately. And if it involves making a change, then make that change. And you know what? Sometimes when people think about changing as a result of criticism, they are so prideful that they, even though they know that they need to change a decision, they don't want to do it because that's like admitting that the critic was right. Well, you know, if we're going to be so stubborn that we can't make a positive change because we're afraid of making somebody else right, then we're going to be in a very bad position. But, you know, criticism, when it is accurate, it should give us the frame of mind that we don't want to be in that situation anymore. It may be something that we're guilty of. It may be something that will help us if we will change. We need to change when criticism is valid, even if we think it's going to make the critic say, you know, well, I told you so. Are we so prideful that we can't accept what is right because we don't want the critic to think that they were right? And that's a bad precedent for us to be in, that we are going to be so stubborn that we are going to stay wrong because we don't want somebody else to be right. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, again, says that discipline is not pleasant, not even from God, but afterward it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So I might growl at those who shoot me down, and it might have something to do that our opinions of ourselves are a little too high. But when the smoke is cleared and we can see where we are and stop attacking our critics, we may be left with some behavior that needs to be changed and maybe have some ego adjustments on our part. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 16 says, "A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool is the fool rages and is self-confident." So if we discard every negative comment that somebody says to us, the wise writer says, you're not going to improve. You're not going to change. A wise man fears and departs from evil. So don't ignore it. You know, listen to it and make correction from it. But you know, in some situations, ignoring criticism might be exactly what we need to do. All criticism is not good. And some criticism is not worth listening to. And that's well, it takes wisdom to look through those things and to make decisions about what's good and what's not. Sometimes there are those that are described in James chapter 3 that there are those who boast and lie against the truth. There are those that are filled with bitter envy and self-seeking. And unfortunately, that happens even among God's people. And so, in those cases, we need to realize that there are those that can be overly critical, and certainly we can be that way ourselves. Again, we do not want to have the type of attitude that treats all criticism as invalid, but we need to look at it. Some criticize because they are trying to tear you down. Others criticize you because they are trying to help you become a better person. A wise person is going to examine each rebuke that he receives. So, regarding those that can be overly critical, let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 21 and 22. "Do not take to heart everything people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. For many times also your own heart has known that even you have cursed others." You know, when I read that, I think about some of the television shows that I've seen in the past where, you know, Gilligan's Island comes to mind. I think there was one episode where Gilligan was able to read everybody else's mind and he could hear what everybody else was saying about him. And he thought that was such a great thing at first, but it turned out to be something he didn't really care for because he didn't like to be able to know what everybody was thinking about him. And here the wise writer says, don't take to heart everything people say, everything they say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. So don't try to be so wired in and tuned in to everything that everybody else thinks about you. When we are super paranoid, and we think everybody is out to get us, everything that somebody says, everything that they do, we think it's some kind of negative reaction to us. And we get all worried about that. The wise writer says, don't do that. You're never going to be happy if you think that everything that somebody has said is about you. That means that you're self-centered. It's not all about you. And you're just giving ammunition to those that might want to use things against you. We have to realize that sometimes there are those that are overly critical. And those that are in positions of management, those that are preachers, and those that are elders, that have a lot of responsibilities, many times they are in a situation where they are often criticized. And they have the ability to ignore a lot of things that are not just. They also have to have the ability to sift through those things and determine what is good criticism and what is not. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23 encourages us that we need to judge righteously. And Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5 that we need to pray for those who despitefully use us. So there are those out there that do not have our best intentions at heart when they are full of venom and criticism. So that's That's another point that we need to realize when it comes to criticism. There's good criticism and bad, and we need to look at it and determine it. And we don't want to be an unjust critic ourselves. You know, many times we are all tempted to strike back at those who hurt us, or somebody that may dare tell us that we need to repent. But we need to realize, we need to listen and we need to grow. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 8 says, "Rebuke a wise man and he will love you." So this means sometimes we have to hold our tongue while we're hearing something unpleasant about ourselves. It's unfortunate, but I think many times people do not want to give criticism to others because they're fearful of the reaction. And something that needs to be said is not said. I can remember one time when I was in college and I was not making some decisions showing that I was giving priority to God. I was giving priority to other things in my life. And one of the members of the congregation came to me very lovingly and talked to me about that and told me that I wasn't setting a good example. And, you know, I didn't like it. I started thinking of excuses. But he was right. And I've never forgotten it. I've never forgotten that he came to me and it was something that was clearly uncomfortable for him to do so. But it was something that needed to be said. And a wise person will take that and learn from it and grow from it. And I've always appreciated that he had the heart to come and say something about that when many other people probably saw the same thing and didn't. We need to have the ability to be wise, and when there are those that give us something that we can learn from, we need to learn from it instead of making them the enemy. They're not the enemy when they tell us what it is that we need to hear. We need to handle criticism correctly, and it really depends on why it is we're being criticized. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 through 24. "For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it when you are beaten for your fault, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who bore our sin in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed." So right here we do see an example of unjust criticism. Jesus certainly received unjust criticism because he didn't deserve it. But Peter also says that you sometimes suffer criticism because you do deserve it. You suffer because of unrighteousness that you have done. And so when you suffer in that way, you know, you don't need to get mad at the accuser. You know, Jesus was suffering unjustly and those accusers were wrong. But when you are accused for something that is because you were at fault, then the accuser is not the enemy. The accuser is the one who's your friend, and you need to listen to them, and you need to change. Granted, some people criticize you because they're trying to make themselves look better, or they're trying to tear you down. But others that are our friends and our brothers and sisters in Christ that have the right kind of heart, they want us to become a better person. And so what they do is intended for us to be able to see our flaws and to be able to benefit from that. But many times we try to turn the tables and criticize the criticizer. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1 says, "A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke." Proverbs 15, verse 12, "A scoffer does not love one who corrects him, nor will he go to the wise." And so you can certainly see from the wise writing of Proverbs that Solomon understood that I need to listen to those who have things to tell me. I need to open my ears and open my heart to those things that will help me to grow and to be more like what my God would want me to be. A wise person will listen and examine each rebuke that he receives. Is it something that I'm doing wrong? Is there at least a nugget of truth? Is there something that can help me? If it's inaccurate, is the misunderstanding due to something that I'm doing or perhaps not doing, something that I could help to correct? A wise person realizes that it is dangerous to dismiss a rebuke just because he doesn't like it. And I don't think many of us like rebuke. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1 says, "He who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." We need to be the opposite of that kind of person. The one who is rebuked doesn't harden their heart, but they open their ears. Examine yourself. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 8 describes the problem that many have when they try to correct someone. "Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you." You see what that says here? That there are going to be some that need correction. And over, when somebody tries to correct, all that person does is scoff. And they don't do anything positive. And the wise person says, don't waste your time on them. If they are scoffing over and over when they are criticized, if they're not going to benefit from that, then quit doing that. And so they're going to be in a bad position. And we will be in a bad position if our reaction is so negative and so hateful and so bitter that every time somebody tries to constructively, you know, give us something to think about, that we react negatively and turn the tables on them. What are they going to do next time? I know how Randy reacted to me last time. I don't really want to face that again. And shame on me if that's my reaction to someone that's trying to help me and help me not to sin. Psalm 141, verse 5, David says, "Let the righteous strike me. It shall be as a kindness. And let him rebuke me. It shall be excellent oil. Let my head not refuse it. For still my prayer is against the deeds of the wicked." It reminds us very much of how David reacted when his sin was presented to him by Nathan. David said that I have sinned. Paul rebuked Peter in Galatians chapter 2. You know, some of the best qualities that we see here of David and Peter is their ability to accept criticism and to learn from it. Criticism is necessary. Criticism tells us things that are wrong, that need to be changed. The best thing that can happen when others try to instruct us is the conversation turns towards the Bible. And we can be shown from the Scriptures what we're doing is approved by God or what we're doing is not approved by God and needs to change. When the Bible is the standard for these types of things, for all criticism, the conversation goes away from personal likes and dislikes. It goes toward what's right and wrong in the sight of God. Critics need to realize that sometimes there are things that are matters of personal opinion and they need to bite their tongue. But we also need to remember that when we are criticized, we need to focus on the Word of God. Both parties do. And determine what it is that God would have us to do. And if we need to change, then we change. Then it's not something that has to be taken personally. When our focus is on the Word of God, we all have the same standard. We're all working on the same goal. I believe that one of David's best qualities was his ability to say that I have sinned. And that's why he was a man after God's own heart. When Peter was playing the hypocrite and being like the Jews when he was around the Jews and the Gentiles when he was around the Gentiles, and Paul called him out on that, I don't know how he reacted. because it's not recorded for us. I do know that Peter had been an apostle a lot longer than Paul had. And I know Peter could have said, well, you know, I trump you because, you know, there's people that think I'm the Pope. He said, he didn't say, I've been with Jesus and you haven't. I was one that was with Jesus for a long time during his ministry. So you could see how Peter could have reacted because Paul was the new guy. I don't think Peter had that attitude. You can tell from his epistles what kind of attitude he had. And you also can see throughout his life when he made mistakes, he reacted in the right way. This is not the first time Peter had been criticized. Peter had been criticized by Christ. Peter had been warned by Christ that he was going to falter, and he did. But Peter learned from his mistakes. And there's no doubt in my mind that Peter learned from this one as well. That when Paul criticized him and told him what it was that he needed to hear, he thanked Paul and he learned from it, and he didn't play the hypocrite anymore. And that's exactly the way he should have reacted. He shouldn't have tried to pull rank, say, I've been an apostle longer than you. He shouldn't have gotten angry. Getting angry doesn't change anything. There's a story about Newt Rockne, the coach at Notre Dame. And there was a column in the school newspaper for a long time that was called Old Bearskin. And it was actually letters to the editor that were signed Old Bearskin. What it was a kind of a mean and nasty column that insulted football players. And the writer seemed to have inside information about what was going on the team. The writer knew who the lazy players were. He knew the ones that were the rule breakers. He knew which team members were the ladies' men. And there wasn't a guy on the team that wouldn't have wanted to wring this guy's neck because of the things that were written. And so when a player would come to the boiling point at practice about some comment that was written in this column, you know, Newt Rockne would try to sympathize with him and say, you know, nobody should write such things, and you know, that's awful, and I just want you to go out there and show Old Bearskin those things are not true. And it was only upon Newt Rockne's death that people realized who the writer of the article was. It was him. And he was doing that to criticize people and let them know what it was that they needed to work on. His criticisms were invaluable. But you know, if he had done that directly, it may not have had the same effect. So a very, very wise way that he went about that. His criticism needed to be listened to, and the players learned from those things. And again, players didn't like the way it was presented. They may not have liked the things that were said, but if they were true, they needed to learn from it, and they needed to grow, and they needed to change. The same is true about us. Paul said in Galatians chapter 4, verse 16, have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? Harsh statement, isn't it? And of course, the answer should absolutely be, no, Paul, you're not my enemy. You're my friend for telling me the truth, because you're telling me the things that are going to make me more like my Savior. You're telling me the things that I need to know to go to heaven. We should never develop enemies because enemies are trying to help us. We should never develop enemies because those that are our brethren are trying to help us. But too often, brethren become enemies because one is trying to help another. And they may not do it in the best possible way, and the recipient of the criticism is not listening, and they become angry, and a relationship is severed, and people end up staying in sin. So let's not let others become our enemies because they tell us the truth. Let's listen to those things, and let's learn, and let's grow. We need to be able to give criticism effectively, and I think by looking at this lesson on how to receive criticism, it also helps us to learn a little bit more on how to give it more effectively, because Let's think about the way that we like to hear it and the way that we would like to be approached and use that when we give criticism. But let's also have a heart and mind that's open and receptive to the truth so that we can grow. Let these things be useful to you. If anyone is present this morning that wants to respond to the gospel of Christ, one of the criticisms that oftentimes has to be removed from our life, one of the weaknesses, is pride. And you have to drop your pride in order to be able to accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you need help. We need the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us from sin. We've come in contact with that blood through baptism. If you haven't done that or have anything in your life to separate, make that right. If we can help in any way, please come while we stand together.